this episode of the podcast, I'm talking with my friend Christopher Ferris Terry, the killer vocalist of the band Wake, and also did vocals with Dead Bird. We talk a lot of old school, like rock and roll horror, just a lot of old school horror, talk some metal, and we also talk about this really killer festival he's got going on, which features like, you got metal, Americana, a little bit of everything, I think a little bit of like kind of bluesy, country-ish type stuff, but a lot of really killer bands. It's called the Mutants of the Monster Microfest, and that's going to be going on June 3rd through the 5th in Little Rock, Arkansas at the Whitewater Tavern. Highly recommend you check that out if you're around the area and stuff. It's going to be really killer. A lot of cool bands and stuff, so definitely want to look into that. So hope you enjoy this podcast episode. We talk a lot of cool things, and it was really fun. So thank you, and thank you for listening. All right, CT, thanks for being on the podcast, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
How's your day going so far?
Wow, pretty hellish. Kids are at it. My son, he's got in trouble at school, and so he's not handling being grounded from the electronics right now. So it's kind of just been like a bee hive around the house. This is the most quiet it's been all day. So,
wow. Yeah, it's quiet in my house because my cats are sleeping right now. Usually they like to fuck with me whenever I'm podcasting. They start scratching at the door, trying to get up under there and getting in this room. And the room podcast, I got all my amps in here. I got pedals in here, all kinds of shit that they can chew up. So it's off limits to cats, you know?
Yeah, I'm waiting for that because I'm down in my office, but it's also like my cat room. So, and I got the door closed, so I'm waiting for just to start hearing meow like through the door. And then when I open the door and let him in, then he just sits there and goes meow, like, let me the fuck back out.
Fucking cats, man. They don't give a shit. They own the house, you know?
That is it, man.
Have you checked out anything cool horror movie wise in the past couple months?
Man, I don't think so. I even tried to do some homework before this. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, just to but to be honest, I mean I went to the movies and saw Scream.
That's
something. My teenager was like, I want to go see Scream, and I was like, all right, let's go see Scream, you know. so yeah, it wasn't too bad. I mean, you know, I take on everything in a different light with my kids. You mm-hmm. know, it's like something that I might be like, oh, that's cheesy as fuck or whatever. I'm like, not really, because I'm seeing it with a 16-year-old, you know, like right. Until I get their opinion of it, like I'm not going to rain on anyone's parade unless it is really just that bad, you know.
Yeah, and I think I was that age, and I was like 14 or so when the first Scream movie came out, and like I think 2000 or whatever. And back then, I didn't really give a shit about the Scream movies, man. I was like, what is this shit, you know? But over time, I've come to appreciate them a little bit more. They're still not like my favorites, you know. I just don't like the whole teen fucking, you know, new wave of slashers, I guess, during that period of time. Like you had that, then you had like fucking like Valentine was another one, and then you had I Know What You Did Last Summer, those type films. I never really got into those. I'm more of a monster kid, you know.
Me too, but I'll say it's so weird. Sometimes I will just, especially at night, if I'm trying to go to sleep or whatever, I will put on some of the weirdest stuff. And Scream 2 is one of those go-to movies for me because I just think the whole opening scene is hilarious, of like her, like him going to the bathroom, getting stabbed through the wall, and it going through his ear, you know, and then coming back with the scream mask on, and then killing Jada Pinkett Smith right there in front of everyone. But that aside, you know, from the actors. It's kind of a neat, you know, scene because she's getting stabbed in the stomach and then she walks up in the middle of the aisle. And you don't do that shit anymore for movies, like make it a gimmick, you know, like
right.
Everyone comes opening night and they're wearing like the Jason mask or, you know, I mean, it's like no one does that shit. And back then, though, I don't know if they were still doing it then, but they were probably when they were doing the idea of that was probably from the time when they did, you know. And what to me was so great about those shitty movies like that, when they came out, dude, here in Little Rock, we had this place called the Tandy 10 and everything was a dollar. And so you just went there because there wasn't anything to fucking do in Arkansas anyways, you know? So you just, the Tandy 10 had, it was 50 cent Tuesday, no matter what, like all day and night, 50 cents. On Monday, it was if you pay as a three group, you get in for 75 cents. Like wow. That was a weird deal, you know. And but every day, anything under five was 50 cents. And it didn't jump up to like, I guess like the matinees were a dollar and then it was $1.50 like the seven and the nine, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it was just no matter what, even on the worst days of the week, you were like, oh, I'll go see what I still know what you did last summer at the 9 o'clock movie because we have got nothing to do. Yeah, let's just roll a joint and go watch that shitty ass movie. And, you know, like, and that's, I mean, we lived, you know, at the Tandy. I mean, that's how I would, like, I'm not a big fan of those Rob Zombie movies, but I honestly liked the first one a lot better because the imagery, I liked that house that they were in, you know.
Oh, and, yeah, same, yeah.
So it was one of those things where me and my nephew, were just going to go see a scary movie. And I mean, he hated the movies. He hated House of, what's it called again?
House of a Thousand Corpses.
Yeah. A Thousand Corpses. but before that, you know, I was like, let's go see this. And he was just like, man, did you trick me? Like you just pull a switch up, you know? And I was like, come on, it's 50 cents, dude. You know, like, what are we going to do? And back then I was also on lots of psychedelics. So I really liked that first movie. But it's something I would have never – because, you know, when it went to the, I guess, the real movies, it was probably already out within like 2 weeks. You know, it was like – they didn't give it, you know, because it's usually 2 weeks and then they're like, all right, you're out of here or you're staying because you're making money, you know?
Right.
So, but I guess that's the good thing about those crappy movies. But I mean, that's the same way with like the good ones, you know? I remember going to see just like Your Next or any of those, you know, Thai films and just being like, we got to go see it immediately because you know they're going to pull it after the, like, they're not going to show it again, you know? I mean, and man, graciously, like when Let the Right One In came out, we had an indie Market Street Cinema at the time that only played that stuff. Nice. And I worked there at the time only because I never went to film school or any of that stuff. So I was just – and I was in the middle of – like we were starting Slow Southern Steel. And I was like, man, I just got to be around this stuff somehow, you know. So I took a side job at this place. And man, I saw Let the Right One In, like, I mean, countless times. And I was never one of those dudes that would watch it halfway through or something, even though I worked at a movie theater, because the movies they're playing, it's like, what, how do you watch Slumdog Millionaire halfway through? You know, it's like either you go in with your eyes closed and you look at the crowd and then you get out. Like, but I mean, oh man, I saw during that small period, that's when, yeah, it was Slumdog, The Wrestler was out during that.
Oh, that's a good one.
So it was really fun. I mean, I didn't work at the place when me and Reed from Wake and Deadbird, and he wasn't even living in town at the time. And he was like, I'm in town, dude. Let's meet up and go see some kind of monster. And I was just like, are you joking? Let's do it, man. It was August, and it was at this indie cinema, and the air conditioning was out. And we were there in the middle of the day on a Sunday afternoon. Oh, man. It was just like, oh, like, is this an effect to go with the movie? Like, you know.
That sounds like a horror movie already.
right. But I'm fucking to go on this back tangent, though. At that same, you know, indie theater, before it turned full indie, I went there on a midnight one time and watched Faces of Death 4. Oh. And they gave you you walked away with a certificate that you survived. Oh, and, that's so cool. And so they're like, if you stay till the end of the movie, we hand these out. And it looks like a death certificate. Except for you're allowed to sign it at the end saying, I'm not dead. Like, and it was really cool, man. Like that kind of stuff, it really went well with horror, you know?
Yeah, I love that when they give you a little bit of extra, like, it's an event, you know what I mean? It's not just like you're going out to go see a film, it's an event. It's like, you know, that kind of shit's really cool to me.
And that's, again, I think that's why I like that beginning of Scream 2, is because even though it's not a movie I really like at all, but that beginning is really hyped up. Like, they're all there to, because they're so excited to see this scary movie, you know? Mm-hmm. Man, another one. I was just making my wife sit through not too long ago. And you can't find it for sale anywhere. You have to watch it on YouTube. Uh-huh. Popcorn.
Oh, yeah. Popcorn. Yeah, yeah. I think that used to be on Shudder at one time. I don't know if it's still up there, if you subscribe to Shudder or not. But, yeah, that's a good one.
I had one Shudder. I don't anymore. But when I looked it up, it didn't even come up that you could buy it. Like you can at least buy Jim Cate and you know, some other like weird stuff. But yeah, that was one that I couldn't like buy. But that's what I love about Popcorn. Like the whole fact that it's, you know, it's a whole night and they're playing these movies, and the movies come with the gimmicks like the smell-o-rama or during the, you know, or each of their seats are getting shocked, you know, and it's all night. And I mean, also just the entire thing that, you know, with the possessor, with the dude that they're in the same, you know, like there's the theater and his fight, it's the cult like film guru weird dude who burns the theater with his following in it and tries to kill his wife and child or whatever. And then the star of the movie ends up being that child when she grows up. And yeah, no, I love that movie, man. And my wife's just like, are you kidding me? Like,
yeah, don't feel bad. My wife don't watch half the stuff I watch. She'll watch horror movies with me, but if they're like supernatural type horror movies or whatever, but when I go off the deep end on like some weird 80s shit or whatever, like she won't watch those with me.
She's good with any kind of like film fest or going to the movie stuff. Like, of course we're talking, so I'm drawing a blank, but the classic summer camp movie, With Angela.
Now you got me. Yes, kind of messed up. Trying to think of the name of it now. It's on the tip of my tongue, and I should know it because it's a fucking awesome movie.
No, it's Sleepaway Camp. I got it.
Yeah, Sleepaway Camp. Yeah, I was looking it up too. Yeah, it's one of the best summer camp horror movies ever made.
Yeah, no, like we went to a film fest and here in Hot Springs and watched it with like the actors and we've also come home to watch it like many times, so that, but at the same time, she's laughing during it. I'm like, this is a great movie. She's like, oh yeah, right. I can't remember who it is, but she made me sit through a podcast where they're watching, these comedians are watching it and like doing it play by play. And honestly, it was hilarious. Like we listened to it and then instantly watched Sleepaway Camp like right after that. It's Sleepaway Camp is brilliant. It's a shame. I'm trying to look up that director now to see. So it looks like he was a writer on Sleepaway Camp too. But was he the director also? No, he wasn't the director. And who knows what they mean by writer? It could just mean they're giving him credit because he came up with Angela,
Right.
So.
Yeah, it went off the rails after the first film, man. Like, the first Sleepaway Camp's great. Then after that, really, without Felissa Rose on there, like, I don't really care, because she's, like, the star and she's fucking badass.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that when part two came out, it was that time for me. So I was, like, in the eighth grade and I don't even know if it went to the movies. It seemed like Showtime was playing it a lot. So it was just like one of those things that, you watched and your parents weren't around. And there's some classic scenes in it. So it's just like a cheesy slasher movie. Right. But it would have been way better with Felicia Rose for sure.
Yeah, she's a badass. She's been in so much shit after that. Numbers and numbers of horror movies, man. Like, she's been in so much stuff. Always working. Super busy.
That's who we got to meet at the film fest. She was super cool. Like, everyone was lined up, and she was supposed to charge everyone, and she was like, "Man, fuck it." She was like, "Let's just all take a bunch of cool pictures together." and just was giving out her pictures and stuff. It was kind of funny, because I was like, "Oh man, like they're too nice," but it was really cool watching the movie with them.
I bet. That's really fucking killer, man.
Yeah, yeah. And the theater was old. It was like, it was a really, really old theater. And that just recently got bought and is being completely restored to how it was in like the 30s and 40s and stuff. And the person that bought it, it's like mainly for these huge drag shows. So it's just, God, it's like massive. I mean, like I said, since it's classic because they're like, we plan to make this room to a T like the theater it was then, but before that, it was pretty cool because during Halloween, the entire back of the theater was a haunted house. And there was times I went to go visit this place with like other promoters because we were trying to plan a fest in Hot Springs. Uh-huh. And so we were looking at this theater before it just got bought and it's totally redone. And I we'd be like, okay, cool. Oh yeah, Weed Eater would be great here. And like, this Full of Hell would be great here. And then they were like, well, let's go check out behind the stage. And it was a full on haunted house. Wow. Like the walls were like, well, this is like the Terminator section. And like, I mean, it was just like, they just closed it off all the other time of the year. it was mind blowing. But yeah, that's, That was a pretty neato place. I wish we'd have got to do something there.
Yeah, that'd have been great for some metal shows, man. It sounds fucking killer. Especially the haunted house in the back.
Well, I was I was just like, well, the haunted house in the back will be out the green room for the bands. Like, do you think how gnarly that'll be for those guys? Like, because it was all it really was a bunch of mazes to certain little areas, you know. And but it was killer, man. It really was.
That's badass. We do. We have some smaller. Where we have one smaller theater that is local and stuff, and they do a lot of like independent stuff. And I think they screened Halloween when it first came out, the newer Halloween, because it was filmed here where I live at. Shit, filmed like really close to me, maybe a couple miles here and there, like some of the locations. So like when the film was on, I was like, oh, I know where that's at. Oh, that's at the mall there. There's the hospital, you know, which is really cool. And and they do some screening stuff at this place, so. Got a little bit. We've been getting more attention in South Carolina since Halloween's came out, and you know, you got Eastbound and Down that was filmed here. You got The Righteous Gemstones are filmed down here now, like in my area. So we're getting a little more attention here.
Why are they filming all that there? Do you got like a small, like Hollywood? I mean, not Hollywood, but I mean, how's that? I mean, hell, I know there's films being filmed here, and I'm like, I have no idea why, unless they're going for that look.
Like, yeah, know? I don't know for sure why, you know, all the attention's getting cool down here, but it's weird. We get a lot of movie stuff down here, and you won't even know when it's going on unless you're like driving down the road. Like this happened not too long ago. We're driving way home from work, and here comes a freaking motorcycle doing a wheelie with camera people following. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Do with weird kind of like, you know, like taxes and stuff, because you know, certain states offer, you know, deals for businesses that are coming in and bringing you know, because usually if a movie's being filmed, that means they're bringing all these people in. These people have to stay at hotels, they're eating night and day at all the local businesses, you know. And I only know this because for a while Arkansas didn't do it, and being a part of the local film community, and I don't know anything about the shit, but being a part of it, a lot of people would be griping about that. They would say, we're never going to get anything if we don't change our laws to welcome businesses, you know. And I think they finally did that stuff just because we're getting a lot more of that, you know. Not to mention, I guess, like that stuff in Northwest Arkansas, like with the season three of whatchamacallit?
Ozark?
True Detective.
Oh, that was filmed there?
Yeah, like all in Fayetteville and in Eureka Springs and all that whole like just straight up Arkansas area. But where I think Ozark is like, you know, right over the border, Missouri kind of thing.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
But it's still like 30 minutes, I think, from the border, because it's all like just Ozarky as fuck up there. So, I mean, in my opinion, as an Arkansan, once you get to that top Arkansas, it's just a big blur until you get to like Springfield, Missouri. It's like, you know, it's like you're just driving through those, you know, mountainy areas or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool about True Detective season three. That was one of my favorite seasons. One's my top favorite season of True Detective, man. You cannot beat season one, and then season three is also really good, and it's close to season one, but season one's, man, that's a different beast, you know,
man. I was talking to my wife the other day, because it's weird, again, I guess I'm bringing up the lesser of them, but I loved how season two ended. Like, dude, and that scene is just constantly on my brain. Like, you know how he's walking through the desert, and he's talking to his wife, you know, and he's like, no, you know, and then she's like, oh, babe, like you gave up a long time ago, and he turns around and it's his real body that has passed out, you know, like 20 feet from where he's walking, you know, and I mean, my mind, I was just like, oh, fuck. Like, that's
right.
That's fucked up, man.
And it's a solid season, man. It's still strong. Like,
it's not like those other two. Like,
oh, man.
And that first one is supernatural. I mean, it's not. Yeah, at the same time, it's like, but it is so wicked that it's like this is not of the earth, you know? Like,
right.
I mean, but it's like, no, it's 100%, you know. Yeah, it's a wicked show, man.
Season one kind of took me down the rabbit hole of The King in Yellow. You know how that show is based around all that stuff, man. And that's a hell of a rabbit hole to go down. If you ever read The King in Yellow before?
No, I have not.
Dude, it came out. Let me see. I got it pulled up. It came out in 1895. And it's some of the shit that influenced Lovecraft, if I'm not mistaken. You know, they kind of influenced each other. But I think it was right around the same time as Lovecraft. But it's written by Robert Chambers.
And it's
dark shit, man.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's all about Kurt Khalsa and stuff, which is kind of like hell and heaven mixed and all. It's a bunch of crazy shit. I was reading on a tour one year where I got like a hardcover of it, and I was reading it while we're fucking driving around and stuff. I'm like, God damn, this would definitely get you in the mood for metal.
Wow. Yeah, this looks dark as fuck, man.
Yeah, and that's all what season one is kind of based around, especially the killer and everything. And then you got those psychedelic visuals and stuff. It's like, whew, fucking dark.
Wow.
Yeah, Wick. I recommend.
Yeah. I'm all over that. Hell yeah, man.
What are some of your favorite horror movies?
I guess, definitely, like I said, Let the Right One In is one of my favorite movies, like ever. I would
is
say
is that the original one or the remake?
The original, for original, sure. Cool.
Good, good.
I don't really like the remake as much or at all. You know, I just don't. You know, I really think the core. I've read that book, and it's fucked. You know, and it's a lot to do with like child sex slaves and you know, it's really about what she does to survive. And if you've seen that movie?
Oh yeah, I've seen both of them. I like the original though, but yeah.
You know, where he's all hung up on, you know, will you be my girlfriend? You know, and she's just like, the whole time she's like, well, what if I'm not, you know, a girl? And he's, you know, of course he's like, you know, we're taking it like she's not meaning anything human, you know, and I think it's just a real strong movie that you have this vampire that couldn't age, is stuck in this child's body. And, is really a boy that's playing the role of a girl, you know, to survive, because that's the only way, they could survive, you know. And the role between Hyken, the grown up that Ellie is with. I just love that whole setup that to me it's like the story of like Ellie and Oscar is really just the story of her and Hyken all over again.
Yeah, it's kind of repeating.
Well, yeah, because I mean, we don't know how old she is as a vampire, you know? And so you're like, have they been together for a lifespan? 'Cause he's an old man at this point, you know? Older like that, And so then you got to also take it into the fact that, you know, their relationship might have started out like her and Oscar's romantically as kids. And to where it's like now he's a 65-year-old man and Ellie is still a 12-year-old, you know, like, and really their relationship is also based on survival because she has to drink blood to survive, you know, and it has to be done smart or they'll die, you know, mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, they're on this like tour of where they go, you know, and they can't kill people too sloppy. They can't get caught.
And it's a really unique film, man, like compared to other vampire films.
It is. It's she, and when they meet, you know, outside in the cold, she's like tired and kind of like rags under her eyes. And he even says it. He's like, why do you smell? You know, talking about the way she smells. And then once she's able to, you know, eat and they meet again at that point, it's like her hair's gone from ratty to brushed, you know, and there's not dirt anymore. And she doesn't have like that kind of an odor or whatever, you know. I mean, those are the simple things, but I mean, the fact of, there's already like a killer that's kind of been loose, and I could be confusing also because in the book it's based on that. Uh-huh. And so Oscar would be, you know, he was constantly getting bullied, and in the book he wet himself because he was just a fucking mess, you know.
Yeah.
And little kids, I guess over there, would carry this like piss ball. And it's kind of like something that would soak up stuff, you know, but uh-huh. He would put it in his pants and when he would get nervous, you know, and it's the detail is just fucking ridiculous in this book. And it's not that big of a book. What I'm meaning is, do they just, they fuck with him he's being bullied to. I mean, like, it's just bad. So every night he has this knife and he's just constantly stabbing things and he's pretending that he's the killer mm-hmm. that's been killing people. And in his, you know, imagination, in his reenactments, it's like he has the head bully, you know, tied up. And he's like, yes, it's true. I'm that killer, you know, like, and I mean, and that's how they meet the first time in the movie. It's him stabbing that tree, you know, and she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, you know, like looks back there. But, as far as favorite horror, that's definitely that's probably in my top five of just favorite movies, period. Uh-huh. So I love that one.
That one
I don't know if you would call this horror, but I mean, what's The Devils?
The Devils? You're talking about the older film from like, what, the 70s?
Yeah.
I mean, kind of, sort of, you know, it's pretty crazy. Vanessa Lee,
Oliver Stone, it's a Ken Russell film, you know, and he does Altered States and,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, it's like, I mean, it's weird how they rate those, you know? But yeah, I guess I'm looking it up and they're just like, nope, it's a drama, biography, history. Like, it's just done in a completely weird psychedelic way where, you know, all those like nuns are just going batshit.
Well, it's definitely dark, that's for sure. I mean, I would still have it like around the horror, like there's horror elements, you know, definitely.
let me think of some more stuff, because man, I used to only be obsessed with horror. Because it, still in my mind, it's the best filmmaking. And I would assume I, it's my opinion that anyone that can make a real good horror film can make any good film.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, that's really like my opinion on that. But I really got on that whole, you know, the, I liked, you know, Eli Roth a lot when he came out. I accidentally saw Cabin Fever at the Dollar Movie, you know, and I was just like, what is going on here? It was a Monday night dollar movie, and I loved it, you know. I'm trying to, and I'm trying to look up all those films that like he even helped produce, and stuff.
I would say Cabin Fever is probably my favorite of his films. Like the Hostel films were cool when I was a little bit younger and stuff, but it haven't really aged well when you go back and revisit them. It's like,
Hostel One, I think is great. You know, we saw Hostel One on the opening night. And we, I didn't realize it was a Eli Roth film at the time. Like, it was just one of those things that, you know, me and my nephew just went to the movies all the time, no matter what. It was kind of our thing. And so I really, we were blown away. We were, I mean, we're watching it and we really didn't know all that much about it. So when it happened, you know, and it just switched pace, we were just, holy shit. Like, okay, well, from here on out, it's going to be good. You know, like, so I really liked the first one. Whereas in, by the time you're watching the other ones, they're letting, it's like watching Boba Fett take his mask off. You know, it's like, I mean, it's fun if you like sci-fi, but it was way cooler when you didn't know. You know?
Right. It takes away a little bit of the magic, you know.
It does. And hey, I still watch it. Don't get me wrong. But I guess spinning from that, you know, the Eli Roth, I was really into the Ty West films. Like when I saw, dude, when I saw House of the Devil, I was just, I was floored, you know, that someone would take the time to do that. You know, I mean, from the opening scene to the headphones to the, you know, to the, like the credit with the 80s song to, I was just, from that moment forward, I was pulled in. And for that to be one of the longest movies ever to finally kick in, you know, as to what you're there for, you know.
Right.
Because honestly, it's just a slow moving movie all the way up to that guy walking up on her friend and shooting her in the head, you know. And it's kind of like when that happens, you're like, holy shit, you know, like, right. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah. I love it, man. It's a slow fucking dark atmospheric, like brooding ass movie, man. It's super slow and it's sludgy, you know, but it's so fucking good in that way.
It's I liked. So, I mean, I loved that. I liked Innkeepers. I mean, that's another one that I really liked. Man, I also, I hate to say it, but dude, can you give me just 2 seconds? I'm about to just run in my room and grab my personal stash. It'll take 2 seconds. Okay.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
All right. I'll be right back.
Yep.
Okay, I'm back.
All right, cool.
All right, yeah, so you gotta forgive me, but I haven't really been on drugs for a while. But when I was, I used to also be into this, all this really weird Thai horror. And there's this set of films called Art of the Devil.
Oh, I've heard of those. I think I've seen some of them.
I own all three of them, man. Mm. And, dude, if you can sit through this shit, it is fucking evil, wicked, cool. I mean, it's like, it's that's probably where my real, like, last love for horror came, is like those kind of films. Right. And then slowly after that, you know, I just stopped taking drugs. So it became different, you know?
Right.
At the time, I was, you know, it was just me, you know, I was solo and I was on a lot of this stuff to where I could just sit through long 2 hour, you know, movies with subtitles all the time, where now it's just like, you know, the kids are so loud, it's really hard to do that a lot. Those also, those fucking, I'm trying to think of the Takashi Miike, HBO horror short.
Shit, I'm trying to think of a name on that one too. Cause it was I think it was on Showtime actually. It was a Masters of Horror.
Masters of Horror. That's what it was. That's right.
And his was like super controversial, and they wouldn't even like put it out on a DVD. Trying to think of the name.
I own it on DVD.
Oh, you got it. Yeah, I think they ended up doing it, but at first they're like, we don't know what to do with this.
Honestly, I only own it on DVD because I bought the rental from the local, you know, like Blockbuster or whatever, mm-hmm. where they're like, all right, we're through with these and they're in the bin or whatever. And I bought like, you know, like 10 of them or whatever.
Yeah, that film's Imprint, by the way. Imprint.
Imprint, dude.
Yeah.
that's a great film, man. He's incredible. But I mean, he does everything, you know. He doesn't just do like horror, because this is a horror film, right, or whatever. But I love that. That's a great one. And I'm down with like pretty much any of the Cronenberg. I'm really upset that I haven't seen Possessor yet.
Oh, dude, that movie is fucking awesome. It's on, if you got Hulu, it's streaming on Hulu, by the way.
I've got it. You know, and I haven't seen Mandy yet, and I own it. My wife bought it for me on my birthday. Uh-huh. And then the other day, I saw it come across on something that we have for free, and I was like, man, I'm just going to start watching it. It got so good that I was like, I got to stop this and watch it with my wife. And then I started watching it with her, and she was like, I don't know if I can get into this, dude. And I was just like, fuck, I should have watched it by myself. Like,
dude, yeah, Mandy is my favorite film. I've said this multiple times on this podcast, like, nothing compares to Mandy, man. It's ruined every other film for me. Like, there's a lot of cool films, a lot of good films, but fucking Mandy.
I bought it when it came out. It's just, man, it is hard when you have so many kids, you know? And to me, also because the only time I got is once they go to sleep that I can concentrate on something. Dude, mm-hmm. It is really hard for me to get into something that is 2 hours at 9 o'clock unless I'm going to the movie theater. You know, and honestly, the movie theater is my way to go. Like, I watch TV out that fucking ass. Don't get me wrong. But, man, the real magic is in the theater. And, I mean, if it passes that it's a movie I wished I would have seen at the theater, it's almost like there's something in me that is just like, biting my lip, you know? I mean, that didn't stop me from watching Black Rainbow, though. You know,
oh, fuck yeah, like, God, another like, great movie.
I had to, you know, like, so yeah, man, I'm gonna watch that one immediately. I've got a list of them, you know, those old Cronenberg films, I love. you know. Any of those, I mean, they're so good. I mean, I have dreams about some of them, you know, like, it's weird. I have a friend who is a, you know, a big, Cronenberg fanatic, and I've told him that. He's like, wow, you have dreams about those movies. And I'm like, I think I do. Like, you know, like, I think I have, like, you know, like Rabbit and like some of those really early ones, they're mixed together, like Shivers, like I can't tell if what's going on in my head. And he's great, man. He's really great. And The Brood is like, but plus, dude, I love Oliver Reed. That's who he was, the actor that was in The Devils. So, and at the time that, have you seen The Brood?
I have seen The Brood, yep.
Okay, so the weird English actor that's the star of The Brood.
Like, right, right.
yeah, at that point in time, he was just getting blacklisted in Hollywood, and like hardly anyone would hire him because he was just this fucking blatant drunk. That's the dude that's he's the gladiator keeper in Gladiator.
Yep, yep, you're right.
So, I mean, he's just one of those, he's the last of like the brilliant actors, you know. But at this point, I'm just like, yes, he would have never taken a Cronenberg film. Like, but he had to. He needed the money, you know?
Yeah, he's like, I guess I do Cronenberg.
Right. But, yeah, I love that one. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of some other classics that I love. But I'll tell you what, there's hardly any that I just don't like. I just appreciate film a lot, you know. There comes a point where I guess some stuff, you know, is just horrible, you know. Here's another one that I really like a lot, Dog Soldiers.
Oh, fucking, that's one of the best werewolf movies ever made, man. I love Dog Soldiers.
The head producer of that's from Arkansas. And I didn't know that at the time that we saw it the very first time, but, I didn't know
that either. That's cool.
And then finally, when it was like, we started doing the very first, like the Little Rock Horror Film Fest, which was like branched off from the Little Rock Film Fest. Mm-hmm. And I only got in with those dudes because of the Slow Southern Seals, thing. They had done it, you know, and meaning the first time I showed it was through them and all this stuff, and so they were like, we want you part of our team. And that's when I learned about this guy, David Alan Greer, and yeah, man, like, but what I'm saying is, for any reason whatever, he would just come in with the millimeter film and be like, yeah, let's play it. And we'd be like, fuck yeah, let's play it, man. Like, he has the entire statue of the wolf, like, wow, from the feet all the way to the top. He's got a busk, and he has the arm where you could put your arm in it, where it would shoot, like, the wolf, like, or it's the wolf, it's the hand in the mouth, I think, where it looks like the real wolf. Like, man, that was what so was good about that movie was, Jesus, man, like, when they're getting attacked, you from the, you know, from the shoulder up, it looks like a real wolf. It's that, to me, that in all of movies, that is my favorite werewolf movie. Like, because
that's my top five for sure.
Because it's like, that shit looks like a real werewolf, like, and the whole premise, you know, it's like they're this combat team and they don't have guns because it was a practice.
Right. So, so fucked,
guns, man. It's, oh, dude. And then the scene where his guts get ripped and they super glue them back together. Oh, God, man, that's, I mean, because all of that stuff is pre fucking affording CGI, you know, And they really went there with that, man. Like, it's I appreciate CGI, but I just don't think people are using it in the way it needs to be used, you know? Right.
CGI werewolves or CGI monsters, man, really don't do it for me, especially when it comes to werewolves. I've said this before too, Lance. I don't do CGI werewolves. It just don't work. You need somebody in a suit, you know? It needs to be something like really physically there, you know?
I love all of the fucking, what are they, the Matrix vampire werewolf movies?
Oh, Underworld.
I love them all.
Yeah, I like the Underworld series.
Their werewolves suck. You know?
Yeah, they're not the best, but at least they're not CGI'd out, you know? It's somebody in a fucking suit, you know?
I mean, but to me, the CGI'd out part is their transformation, you know? But at the same time, that's not so much as a horror movie as it's like action, you know, it's all action, you know. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just taking horror elements and, you know, moving them up to this other plateau or whatever. Because the storyline is so storyline, it's not even horror to me. Even I really appreciate part three, the prequel.
Uh-huh. Yeah. When I go back and get to see the werewolves uprising.
Yeah. I mean, because the story is solidifies the story as the fact that the reason he picked her is because she looked like his daughter in this backstory. And then in part three, you have to do a double take because that's not her. It's an actress that looks just like her, man.
Yep.
And it's like, to me, it's like, wow, that's you. Because they could have used her and gotten away with it. They really could have, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And they could have said, you know, that's her in a different time or whatever, you know?
Oh, but they didn't. And to me, it was even cooler in that aspect, you know? And I mean, yeah, all the sci-fi-ness is out of that one, since you don't have all the cool guns and, you know, jackets or whatever. But I mean, and that's just an old, you know, I'm trying to think of some other vampire ones that I really appreciate. Did you watch that last thing that was on Netflix? It was like a 3-part series.
What was it? Do you remember?
Dracula?
No, I didn't watch that, man. That was I skipped that. I came out a few years ago, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, I didn't watch that.
Dude, it's really good.
Is it?
I loved it. So I won't go into it. Especially there are some real good CGI things and ideas done in that I've never seen done with Dracula or a vampire. And I was like, wow, like that's cool, you know, like, and they keep it real. And if I'm not mistaken, it's about 3 parts of history and maybe even the third part, is slightly in the future. So it's not in our present day, maybe like 10 years from now or something. I don't want to talk anymore. I could be absolutely wrong. But it's really good. It's a fun one, man. It really is.
Put that on my list, man. Because, you know, Netflix, they come up with so much shit. They don't really they don't tell you about it either. Just like throw it up on the app. It's like, oh, is there, what is this? What is this? And there's so much content. It's hard to get through all of them. Like, is this any good? Is it going to be shit? I'm wasting my time, you know?
Yeah, man. I should mention this stuff. Cause I'm in the middle of like 2 different band threads right now, on the Wake band thread and in the, Deadbird band thread. Dude, something that's really awesome. You ever seen Rocktober's Blood?
Rocktober's Blood? I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think I've seen it.
Oh, my God. Okay. So this is just being obsessed with rock horror movies. You know, like Trick or Treat.
Right. I love that one.
And, Black Roses.
Yeah, watched that last night on Joe Bob's Last Drive-In, actually.
Dude, yeah, no, I could talk about that to the end of time. So I've got that soundtrack on vinyl. Like, I mean, even though Trick or Treat is the, I mean, is stronger because you've got the one, you know, boy standing up against his hero, and the fact that he came through, you know, reincarnation in a backwards record, like, that's just mind blowing. But the Black Roses, you know, like, I mean, that's so heavy because it's so unreal, because they're like, they chose Mill Basin for their very first show ever. It's like, wait, so there's enough hype on this band, Black Roses, that they've never put out an album, hardly. They've never played a fucking show. Well, except for that one that they don't like to talk about, you know? Yeah, I know. And then they're choosing this fucking, like, auditorium room in Mill Basin. I don't even know where Mill Basin is. I'm assuming Canada, but it could be somewhere else. But, like, because they just Mill Basin. And I can't remember. Are there any stories or whatever in it? Like, I need to look up where Black Roses is filmed.
I'm not sure where it's filmed at. I usually look that stuff up when I get done watching the film.
It's really good up to a point, you know, like that. Okay, I'll say that's a movie that could use some CGI.
I was thinking, man, I was typing. We're doing a live Twitter kind of party type thing when Joe Bob was on last night doing Black Roses. And I suggested that there be an updated version of it. But instead of like being like a glam hair band, black metal band, like even more evil, and just do it for nowadays times, you know.
I do it. And that'd be cool. But so then you've seen Rock and Roll Nightmare?
Rock and Roll Nightmare. I probably have, but that's, it's nothing. I don't remember.
Thor movie. You know Thor?
Oh yeah, hell yeah. Okay, yeah, I know Thor is. Yep, yep.
Okay, so that's his rock movie. Is Rock and Roll Nightmare, and it is like, it's god awful, but it's around the same years as these. Well, anyways, if I'm not mistaken, Rocktober's Blood, I think it's more 80s, so it'd be like after Stunt Rock. So I think it is, here, I'm trying to look it up right now. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit, I can't find it. Let me try this. Rock. There it is. Okay, it's 1984. Mm-hmm. And it is incredible. And it's one of those years, like, before Wake started ever touring, and God, we were probably just getting sick of each other because we're like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, and you know, also we had great video stores here that had not gone out of business yet, you know? And that's where we found just Rocktober's Blood on the wall. And it is the greatest story ever, man. You've got to look it up. It's the first 20 minutes is like the gold of the movie, to where you're like, all right, I'm sold. Like, I don't even care what happens from here on out. Like, and it's like this band in the studio, they're getting produced. You know, I guess they're cutting the song for Rainbow Eyes. You got rainbow eyes. But the song, the movie starts out in the studio, and they're cutting all live vocals for I'm Back. Uh-huh. So it's like, when you least expect it, I will attack. There'll be hell to pay, I'm back. And so I think it's like the story to where he's gonna kill a bunch of people, and then he kills himself or he disappears, and then he comes. So in the time that he's like gone, the album comes out and there's all this mystique around it. But there's two singers, you know, a girl singer and then this guy who freaked out and killed the producer and everybody. And so she's really the lead singer on Rainbow Eyes. And so, God, I'm just thinking the song like in my mind. you've got rainbow eyes. And then he goes, rainbow, rainbow, rainbow eyes. So good. You got to get to it immediately.
I bet I can find it on YouTube too. I bet it's up on there, and like VHS quality and all that shit.
Jesus. So he finally, it takes the whole movie to set this shit up, and then he finally like comes back, and you don't know it's him because he's wearing this fucking mask. And then at the end, they're playing this concert that's supposed to be, I guess, you know, like the premier concert of it all, and he shows up on stage, and they're like, and he shows up on that right in time on that song for I'm Back. And so he's holding the girl, I think, hostage with a sword in her throat or something, or in her back, or I can't remember how it happens, but he gets electrocuted live on stage during the final scream of the song. So while he's like, yeah, it's like electricity is going through his body and the scream is going longer and longer. It's fucking incredible, man. So I told Reed, I was like, don't worry, dude, I'm gonna talk about Rocktober's Blood, man.
Sounds like might need to do some covers of that, right?
that Hell to Pay song, I'm Back, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It'd be a good one to work up for sure. I'm trying to find it so I can send it to you. But I know for a fact it's on YouTube.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about YouTube, man. They got all the old fucking 80s movies on there that aren't streaming anywhere, you know?
You know, I finally just got onto that. Like I said, I was sitting there looking and I was like, I just wonder if Popcorn is up, you know, and I couldn't find it. Like, I couldn't even, I don't know if it's on Shudder anymore, but it wouldn't even come up is what I'm saying.
Right.
And so I was like, man, I'm just going to try it. And I went on there and it was like, boom, there it is. You know, entire movie, without commercial breaks. And I put it on and I was just like, man, the quality ain't that bad. Like, 'cause I'm usually a quality snob, like, you know, like I hate a bootleg unless it's Star Wars. I don't like it, you know.
Right.
But they don't do that anymore. You don't need bootlegs. So.
Right.
But no, that's not true. I think even down to the last Star Wars movie, I was looking the bootlegs up just because, like, I was like, I'm not going to go pay to see this for the fifth time, man. They've taken my money. Like, I will watch this duel on my phone illegally.
I got another one for you, man, from 87. You might not remember this because it was on Fox back in the day. It was a TV show called Werewolf.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, Werewolf, it always reminded me of the Marvel comic book. And I'm wondering if they were the same.
I'm not sure about it. I know what you're talking about. I'm not sure, especially with the whole pentagram thing in his palm, you know?
Yes. Oh yeah, dude, I love that show. That was a very decent show. Like, as far as a time period when things could really suck, you know, man, that was a great show.
And Rick Baker was responsible for like the whole werewolf like design and everything like that. So, you know, if Rick Baker's involved, it's like, wow.
So Chuck Connors was in that?
Yeah, he was the main fucking werewolf dude, and he had like an eye patch, super evil looking.
He was like
a pirate.
He was the dude that infected the star of the show.
I believe so, yeah, because he was the main bad guy.
I'm trying to look it up now. When was that? Like 80.
It came out in 1987. It only lasted like one season.
Oh man, it was 29 episodes, yeah.
And man, you can't find that shit nowhere. You can only find YouTube like VHS or record off of VHS TV fucking things. Like, wow. The quality is so bad, and you can't. There's never even been DVDs of it. They've been talking about for years doing like a whole list of like Blu-rays and all for it, but there's a bunch of licensing fucked up shit going on with the music, so they can't do it. So it sucks. It's kind of lost in time, man.
It looks like TriStar. Do they own it? No, I can't tell. It says Fox, but it looked like there was a horse at the bottom of the poster. No, that was a great show, man.
I remember watching that one with my dad back when it came out on Fox, man. And it's like, that one blew me away because I've always been fascinated with werewolves since I was a fucking kid. And I still am now. So I'm like, that was one of the ultimate ones, especially back then. I was like, oh, this is so fucking cool. And it's on TV. I'm like, that's crazy.
Did you watch that Hemlock Grove?
I did, and I enjoyed it. I think they did like two seasons, and I liked the first season better, but I enjoyed it. It was weird, and that was also Eli Roth. So
yeah, I liked it. I really did. I liked their take on the vampire, and because it wasn't as straightforward as their take on the werewolf. You know, like
he straight up turns
into a werewolf. But I did like I liked the whole setup. I love. What was Skarsgård's sister? Like her character. I'm trying to remember. Oh yeah, Shelley. Uh-huh. Yeah, with the eye and yeah, she ruled.
Oh yeah, she was fucking cool, man.
Mm-hmm.
Very yeah, unique. That was, like, what is she? Like, you didn't really know what she was and how powerful she was till like the end of the first season. You know, it's like, oh, okay.
Right. But and I love it. I mean, it's in my mind, they're taking classic monsters, but Shelley was, I guess, a new kind of a, you know, one, if you had to say she was a monster or whatever, you know. But yeah, I dug that one. Yeah, I'm just trying to think of some other. I love werewolves. Did you how did you like that remake of the classic?
Which one? You talking about the Wolfman remake?
Yeah.
It was cool. I liked it. You know, again, the CGI parts are pretty lame, but there was some cool practical stuff. Because if I'm not mistaken on that one, Rick Baker worked on it. I don't know if his work got used in it, because I think there was a bunch of shit going on with that movie in terms of stuff going on. But I did like Anthony Hopkins fucking being that like gray werewolf at the end and shit. I thought that was pretty badass. And Benicio del Toro made a good werewolf.
See, that's it to me also. It's like I did like the classic, you know, how they did. I mean, it wasn't too much. It was, you know, still a man's body on a shoulder or, you know, or whatever. It wasn't like, say, with the underworld or whatever, where they're definitely bigger or, you know. I dug that. And I dug the oldness of it. You know, it definitely looked well shot, you know. I think to me, again, it just goes back to, you know, I saw that in the movie theater, in a huge theater on opening night, you know, like, to me, that's how that stuff's supposed to be, you know, like when everyone else is screaming on a part too, you know,
like, yeah, just being there with all that energy and stuff too is pretty cool.
It's, I really like that stuff.
Yeah, our theaters around here, man, we got a lot of fucking people on their phones and shit. Like, every time I go to a movie theater, you got dudes on their phones. I'm like, God damn it. Like, totally ruined the shit for me.
I am that dude that will ruin my movie time to go tell on somebody just to get free rain check tickets for the free rain check tickets. I'm going to be doing the same goddamn thing again. You know,
yeah, that's smart. Yeah, yeah.
Because fuck well, that. Well, I mean, shit, but it's all that money to see you. It's a cycle every time. Like, it's like, I mean, because I don't want to be that guy, and then I come back, and there is someone talking in it again. You know, so my wife finally is just like, "You have got to fucking stop being, get off my lawn." Like, you just got to like figure it out, man. Like. Like, they're kids. They're on their phone. Shut up. You know?
I'm the same way, man. I don't tolerate a lot of nonsense. Like, I just can't do it. Like, if we're in a situation like that, like, my wife would pretty much be like the same way. She knows I don't tolerate nonsense. So she knows how the situation is going to turn out.
I think she knows. She's like, all you're going to do is get worked up and ruin your night. She's like, if you just get over it now, you know? My God. But I could talk about horror all day. I'm trying to even just think of more shit to go with.
I know one thing I wanted to talk to you about too was the Mutants of Monster Fest.
That's
going on, dude. That shit's killer. So if you want to talk a little bit, like, before, you know, get on that a little bit.
Sure. Like, I mean, anything specific or just jump into it?
Just like a general rundown of, you know, what's going on and stuff, how it started, you know, shit like that.
Okay, give me a second. Okay. I mean, it started maybe 10 years ago or more. We at Downtown Music, which was kind of like our hub bar that we ran or whatever. And back then, it was, you know, a bunch of friends mostly. Still is. But the club shut down. Mm-hmm. And the Mutants to the Monster, we got the name of that from an old Black Oak, Arkansas poem. And it's really from, or not poem, song, but it's really comes from this poem that is spoken before the song on the live version or on other versions of it. So the club shut down. Took a few years break. Jeremy from the local band Sea Hag, he was also doing this thing out at his house. It was like a once a year party. So we were kind of doing that. And one year it just made sense. Like, I just got hit up by a lot of really good bands, and I was like, I'm going to do this. Like, I'm going to do the Mutants of the Monster again. And, we were doing it at a small venue, and in 2 weeks it sold out. So we were just like, well, damn. And, so that's when we decided to move it to the bigger venue. And, it was a lot of fun. We did it again the next year. It was a lot of fun that year. And we started adding like other things, you know, other than it just being like nighttime show, a show. Right. I mean, it's a small town, man. And when you look at other festivals, we're nothing like that. You know, it's nothing like that at all. That we're small fish, you know? So we were trying to think of other things to do outside of just being these nighttime shows. Mm-hmm. I will say this, even though it's such a small fish kind of thing, it's so weird because like most of our crowd is like 50% out of state people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, but, and they say, yeah, we get these shows, but we don't get them together, you know, like I'm putting them together or whatever. And they're so, I mean, and they're saying there's something different about the camaraderie, you know? So, yeah, we started adding daytime stuff and like kind of side events. And that next year was, you know, just as fun. And, mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, that's kind of where it grew to, because it got planned bigger and then pandemic hit. And then we started doing a bunch of those, you know, live whatever things that everyone was doing during the pandemic. We were doing them under the Mutants and the Monster name.
Mm-hmm.
And we just recently did the one in September that we just did, because we usually do them in June. And just because, God, we're dodging months and times right now, right?
Right.
So we really didn't, when we canceled the one for 2020, we replanned it for 6 months later, like everyone else did in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, oh, well, it's not happening 6 months later. Nothing is going to happen. And so that's when we started doing the live thingies, on the TV, to me, they're just TV broadcasts, you know?
Right.
It's like, this is our Mutants of the Monster TV special, you know? So, So we, you know, did that until we did this. And that last one was really neat because we started adding a lot more daytime vendors and stuff like that. And even though everyone was fun and having trashed, having a good time and being trashed and having fun for the nighttime shows, the daytime stuff really took another level because everyone, you know, I guess really got to see each other when the sun was out and before they were inebriated or whatnot, you know. It was a really cool thing. So this year, yeah, that's what we're going for again. We're shooting. I'm shooting for the small venue, though. I'm not going big. I'm going for that small venue that sold out originally so fast. But it's been beefed up since then. You know, they're adding a backyard that is that can hold like 150 people with an outdoor stage. They've also been doing their own like Saturday market vendorville ever since the pandemic, because, you know, the bar the venue this is at shut down like all the other ones. Mm-hmm. So what they did as a venue, I mean, it's not really a venue. It didn't earn money for the venue, you know, but they took the parking lot and they turned it to an outdoor market for, you know, like local produce to art to whatever, you know.
That's cool.
So they're redesigning that whole thing and adding to it. So, well, that's what it'll be. It'll be like based off that. And all off their new vendorville and their new backyard with the outdoor stage. And we're going to have daytime. So while the vendor thing is going on Saturday, and it might, I don't know what's the stuff will be happening Sunday, but that's what we're in the middle of planning right now. But as far as like the daytime stuff, but the Saturday will all be based around that vendor mart. We have all these artists coming in that are, I mean, just sick as fuck. And they'll be set up selling all their stuff in this, you know, vendor mart. And we'll have the venue open. And it has a tiny upstairs. It's like mm-hmm. right above the stage. And just it's the whole top level, but it's not as, you know, big as the bottom level. And so up there, that's where like all the band merchandise and the inside stuff will be sold. We'll have the workshops. If we have workshops, we'll have workshops. We'll have Q&As and book panels, like discussion panels on topics. Stephanie Smittle, who she's a head editor and runs the entertainment section of the Arkansas Times. She's working on that stuff. I'd had to pull it up to show you, but she even has like, you know, something horror planned. I mean, that's, but as of right now, a few weeks ago, they did like this mead making class at Whitewater, mm-hmm. and it was really great. There was all these chairs, and it was just a really great learning experience that happened at like 1 o'clock in the day, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and the, one of the owners, Natalie of the Whitewater Tavern, that's like her thing. So, she's like, you guys send me the ideas, I'll run everything while y'all are running this. So it's turned into a really cool community thing doing it over here like this with this idea. Because it's not just me running around,
right?
You know, and these people thrive on it. I mean, like for instance, Larney, who also used to be a co-owner of the Whitewater, she is the one who runs that whole market thing now. And she's already told me like, you know, she's like, yep, right. I mean, we're working it out to where she's like, I mean, this is my market. You tell me, I'm setting it up, we're dealing it. All you got to do is walk around and buy stuff if you want it, you know? And, nice. And she's like, I'll take care of the artists while you're over here doing that. And then over here doing that, they're like, wait, we're busy. We got this figured out. You know, so it's, I'm just like, rad. Like, so these cool people it really did. Like when I started having these writers, you know, the idea of having that going on, and I reached out to Stephanie Smittle, you know, I was like, here is all of this, but I really don't know what we're talking about. I don't know what it is, but here it is. Well, she's also the kind of person that helps with these kind of discussion panels, whether it's at a, you know, a college for this or a, you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like, it's, so she instantly was like, telling me how a panel is ran, like how many people are usually a part of it. Like, so that stuff has really helped. Sorry, chewing up some ice.
No problem.
It's looking like it's just going to be sick like that. So Friday night will just be a barn burner. And then Saturday we'll have by 11, you know, we'll have the whole mart and all that set up, and we'll have those panels. And if there's any workshops and stuff like that, we'll have all that going on, you know, early. Cause in my mind, it's like, who the fuck wants to learn anything past your first beer, you know? So it's like, man, get that stuff in early, you know, and when your brain is still functioning, you know, and those panels, you know, you still have time to be going back and forth to check out all the art. And we'll have some music throughout the day as well. I don't want to say it now, but the artist that we have playing outside for that is fucking sick. He's a solo artist. Uh-huh. I mean, he's playing a fest with like Lord Huron this summer. I mean, I'm excited. I hate that, but I'm announcing him next week. So when is this going up?
I'm probably going to post this up in the next probably 4 weeks. Cause I got one I'm posting Monday, and I post every 2 weeks. Well, so I'll probably get this one kind of early.
It's Nick Shoulders. He's this dude. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he rules, man. He's a solo artist from Northwest Arkansas. And when you look him up, you know, he's great. He's really popular in his stuff. He has his own record label too, with this dude Kurt from Northwest Arkansas called Garhole Records. So they run all their own stuff. But as someone you might not have heard, it's definitely a part of like that Americana scene. And if you like look his name up, you'll be blown away instantly, because you're just going to see like all the posters and the shows that, you know, and just like, well, damn, man, I had no idea. Like, you know, he's starting to blow up. But we just we did our first show with him the other night, and he never played Little Rock, and it sold out in like 2 weeks.
That's good.
And he's really excited about playing. He's the kind of dude that is like, he's a hardcore kid that started playing this music, and it's incredible. Like, I mean, it's just like, damn, dude, you know, like you stumbled onto some good shit, man. Like,
that's cool. When
you look at him, he's just this hardcore kid, you know? So he's just excited to be there. He's like, yes, I'm going to play this outdoor concert, and then I can get drunk and watch Closet Witch, you know, like, or I can like throw down to Cloud Rat, you know? So he's stoked. And we're stoked to have him. So that's because last year in the September thing, we had bands all day, and that was something we never done. It was a free, like, we even paid Living Sacrifice to play a free concert just outside. And it was like I said, it was a really neat thing. Just everyone being outside, you know, just hanging out together like that. It was really cool. So we were trying to hook that up in some form this year also, but not do it too much so that people can still go and participate in the discussion panels, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah, so, that's smart. Have some room for people to do other things instead of just being bands all day and stuff. You know, it's really, that's the way to go.
The way it's honestly planned is for when Nick Shoulders is playing, that's when we're like roping off the room so people can't come in there, because from this, that's the twilight hour of all the bands loading in to get ready for. Mm-hmm. But the way we figured it out is you can still go in there. You're just going to bypass that floor and stage and go straight to the bar.
Right. So
you can go in there and, you know, have drinks and stuff, but it's just like, but at the same time, we'll be selling beer outside while he's performing on stage. So we're excited. I've been planning it actually all this week, like that part of the show, the Saturday portion. So, and then Sunday will be an extremely laid back version of that. Like, I'm basing this off this fest that they already do there called the Holiday Hangout. And dude, it's this wicked fest that it's usually $100 a pass, and it sells out in a day. And it's like big, like Americana acts, you know, like John Moreland and American Princes. And I'm trying to think who all. A lot of bands that I'm not so much into.
but I don't know who you're talking about now. I'm like, I have no idea.
But I mean, you look this shit up and they sell out 700 people every night. I mean, yeah. Well, you know, like the whole Lucero scene, you know, like that kind of stuff. I mean, do you even know who that band is?
You said Lucero?
Yeah.
I've heard the name, but I don't think
they're a great band in that sense. And Ben Nichols, the singer of Lucero, his brother is the director, Jeff Nichols.
Oh, okay. I've heard of him.
Arkansas director who did fucking Take Shelter.
Yeah. Oh, I love that movie. Fuck yeah. Yeah. That movie.
That was his second movie, man.
Okay, cool. No shit.
His first one is Shotgun Stories.
Oh, yeah. I like that one too. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So the director of those movies, his brother is the singer of Lucero.
Okay.
So I mean, that's just some Arkansas stuff for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and hell, what was the last one? The sci-fi one he did? I saw it. Like, I saw a private viewing of it with him here in Little Rock at a theater. Fuck. You know what I'm talking about with Kylo Ren?
I think so. I'm looking it up right now.
I am too.
Good thing about having phones so close by.
Midnight Special.
Yeah, Midnight Special is cool. Yeah, I gave that like a 9 out of 10 when I watched it. So yeah, I definitely like that one. That was with the kid with the powers and shit.
Yeah, and then at the very end, you get to see that fucking alien village. That's, man, that is like, when at the end, when the, I can't remember, I only saw it that one time in the theater, but God, that ending is, it's something like season two of True Detective, where it just plays with my mind, you know, because it's just like, it's there, you know, and it's, you know, yeah, it's hard to explain it, how cool that ending is. So what I was getting at, is that Holiday Hangout Fest on Sunday, they do this big breakfast where you come in and, you know, you pay, and and it's this huge breakfast that they've laid out that you can eat. And they've Tree of Knowledge is this local book distro that does like the hardcore underground version of authors and, you know, books that you would not find in a bookstore, you know? Right. And so they set up with the other merch, and thing. And it's like, and it's really wild because in the matter of the time of the bar closing at like 2 a.m. on Saturday to when you show up the next day, it's almost like they've transformed the whole place. Because usually what they do is they turn the back of the bar that's the other side from the stage and then to this tiny acoustic stage. And then the stage turns into like part of this library system that goes up those book railings to upstairs.
Right.
And it's so wild because you're like, I didn't leave the bar until 2 a.m. last night. You did not have time to do this. Like, and they literally stay up all night and transform the place. So we're trying to figure out that situation now. Like, are we going to do that, but it not be acoustic? Do that and it be acoustic? You know, like, what are we going to do? Like, we're doing something and we have plenty of bands. I'll say that. So, the Sunday part during the day will probably be based around the, you know, those books, that general, you know, eating and stuff. And then we might have some like pop-up secret shows, like right down the road. There's this tiny little theater. And, you know, like maybe sits 50 people, you know, but it's decked out like a theater, you know. We're thinking about doing maybe like a Cloud Rat, like afternoon kind of golden ticket show, maybe.
Oh, that'd be badass, yeah.
If you were that weekend, if you were lucky enough for someone to walk up and give you the Willy Wonka ticket or whatever, like then you get to go to that show, you know.
That's cool shit, man.
And so we're trying to decide who might would perform with them at that. But it would be a completely different set from the night before that they played. So that's something that might happen. It's something that's happening. It's just me, what I'm figuring out about it. So, so those are some of the ideas. It's going to be fun. I'm happy. I'm happy that it's, on a smaller level as far as like how many people get to buy a ticket. Cause you know, once it's sold out or whatever, I'm like, whew. To me, that's where the gray comes in my hair, you know, like wondering if I've made guarantees and shit like that, you know.
Those are always the most stress-filled fucking things, man. They
fucking suck, man. This is the first years I've ever dealt with sponsors before.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime I ever saw a local promoter promoting a sponsor, you know, I was instantly like, sell out, you know, like, whatever, who wants to sponsor that air conditioning company, man? I'm like trying to watch this metal show, you know, like, I don't give a fuck about it, but I've dealt with them in the last couple of years, and I got to say, they're the greatest things on the planet, man. Like, people that own businesses and then they give you money and they just like, for one, I'm not putting their business banner up behind the stage because anyone who comes to me and asks this shit, they kind of already know me and they know that Wake was just notorious for those people that you didn't walk up and talk to, you know?
Like, right.
So, but the people that knew us knew that that was not true, you know? And, but, you know, if you didn't know Brittany, you were just like extremely intimidated by her. Like, you're just like, I don't want to go talk to her. Like, she gives that sense. I mean, I'm lucky. I've noticed that she's like 13, so it's different. But,
right.
But I mean, fuck, I don't even know what I was talking about. I was just ramming this in the ground for, you know, but, fuck, what were we getting at?
You're talking about the sponsors and stuff like that.
Yeah. So I guess by having that attitude for so long, the people, anyone who's going to come up to me and talk about sponsorship, they know the shows I put on. They know what I do and they don't want to change anything about it. They just want to help it, you know? Like, they're not those kind of sponsors that are like, we'll sponsor you and do this, but you gotta do this, you know?
Yeah, fuck that.
And the ones that are still aren't asking that, you know? They're not asking that much, you know? I mean, it's a blessing, especially I'm dealing with the sponsor from Northwest Arkansas, from Eureka Springs. It's called The Source, and they're a medical marijuana sponsor.
Oh, that's cool.
Jesus Christ, dude. They're the coolest thing. They're just the coolest things in the world. I mean, they love the music. They love it. I even explained to them that this year, the pandemic, everything, man. Like, I was planning for a bigger fest, and then this fucking Christmas spike happened, and it made me just think, you know what? I'm going to do it smaller. I don't give a fuck, you know? Like, because what if it all went to shit anyways? Like,
right.
It went to shit from a smaller aspect, you know? And I told them that, and they were like, you know, in their mind, they're dealing with Arkansas laws and they can't advertise. It's fucked up. Like, they can only do certain things. And it's weird, you know? And so this is one of the things they can advertise. They're allowed to be a sponsor. They're allowed to give away free t-shirts. They're allowed to, if it's at like a fest, I had to give them my numbers, you know. I was like, yeah, we have underage people that attend the fest, but that's like 10% of the people, you know. Like 90% are over 21 and can purchase medical marijuana, you know. Like, and you know, that's all we care about, you know. Just hearing that means that 90% of the people at this place, we can spread our message about our medical marijuana, you know? Yeah. And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, that's way cooler than an air conditioning company just trying to buy the food that goes in my green room. Like, I mean, like, these people are like saving the fucking world here. Don't get me wrong, because I would die without air conditioning. So
me too. I'm hairy. I need air conditioning.
Well, speaking of, especially February and being Black History Month, I can't remember the name, but I was looking over all these Black or African American inventors, and the motherfucker that invented the air conditioner was a Black man. I'm just like,
best invention ever, man.
He also invented the thermostat.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just like, dude, I'm grateful. That's the greatest shit ever. Yeah.
Like, I can't do it, man. Power goes out, no AC for like a couple hours. I'm dying because I keep it cold as shit in our townhouse. I'm like, I can't. I'm like, I work outside. I don't want to come home and fucking sweat my ass off, you know?
No, I would say even if you work outside, it's a must that you know you're coming home to air conditioning.
Right. And when AC's broke, that is the worst fucking feeling, dude. You come home and like, oh man, I'm sweating my ass off, and please come fix this shit. Oh, we'll be there in a couple of days. I'm like, oh god, I gotta go through the weekend with this shit.
We always use the kid card, but at the same time, it don't work if your person don't come and fix it, you know. And we're lucky enough that our folks live like, our whole family lives in the same sector, like if it's like a block area, you know. So, and my parents are prepared, you know. They've got the entire, you know, attic filled with 7 years worth of food. They've got 7 generators. It's really dope. Like, like, you know, we don't see eye to eye on all the reasons they have it, but when it comes time to use it, we're like, hell yeah.
Like, I'll take one of those generators. I'm like, yeah, let me use that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool. I know a few people like that. I don't, I'm just like, what I got is what I got. I have nothing extra. If shit goes to blow up, ain't nothing you can really do about any fucking ways.
Man, I've been thinking about the generators lately only because I used to have all these really like hardcore apocalyptic dreams about the end of the world, you know, and but not it happening, like the afterwards. And I was just, I'm like, I mean, so intense that I saw the new version of I Hate God playing like on a generator to us, like while we all got like, you know, trash can barrels on fire and stuff.
Wow.
and it was really just like this cool mesh of like I Hate God and Soylent Green together, because they're together at this point. It's the end of the world. There's no radio. There's no, and it's like, if they're gonna make it to your town, then it's a real fucking show, you know? And like, dude,
those are the perfect bands for the end of the world too, man. Fuck.
So in my mind, I'm like, how do we put, you know, how is that really done? I'm like, a generator, you know, that's everything, you know? Yeah. Like the generator, you know, you gotta have what to put in it, but is it worth it? Yes, it's worth it. It's totally. So I've, and the fact that, yeah, if the house goes down, it would be nice to be able to throw a generator on because of the kids, you know?
Oh yeah. But yeah.
We never have to. We have like, we have so many, you know, family members over here, and they all have that. So we're lucky on that aspect.
That's definitely killer.
Yeah.
Well, CT, this has been a great talk, man. I fucking really enjoyed this, dude. This has been probably my longest podcast, which is awesome because, you know, I love doing this. It's fucking cool as hell.
I can go on and on. It's a curse.
That's cool. We need to do this again, talk some more horror, like maybe pick a subject we can go off of, whatever you want to talk about. We can definitely do it again.
Hell yeah, man. Thank you, dude.
Hell yeah, CT. And you have yourself a good weekend, man.
All right. Take it easy.
Later.
Later.